Jim Fetzer, Madison, Wisconsin, joined today by Joe Olson, Houston, Texas, and Chris Weinert, Fort Myers, Florida, here to bring you all the news you need to know. We begin with Zelensky firing the heads of all the local draft boards amidst the corruption scandal. 33 officials overseeing conscription were charged with 113 crimes. During inspection of the territorial recruitment centers, law enforcement agencies exposed cases of corruption, especially during the general mobilization, posing a threat to Ukraine's national security and undermining confidence in state institutions. They are fired after acquiring more than $5 million in unaccounted for funds. Zelensky assigned a commander-in-chief of the armed forces of Ukraine the responsibility of installing new officials. Corruption has been a rampant problem within the Ukrainian government for years, I'd say virtually its entire existence. Young Ukrainians drafted into the military have received minimal training. Many have died within a few days of reaching the front lines. The Washington Post reported Thursday morale was plummeting among Ukrainians. One soldier said if given the chance to remake his choice, he would have decided against joining. Meanwhile, Ukrainians are despairing as the bloody counteroffensive yields small gains. Ukrainians, much in need of good news, are simply not getting any, the Washington Post reported. One Ukrainian interviewed said, before, people were united. Now there's a sense of collective disappointment. The sense of despair is driven by massive casualties from the counteroffensive. Most soldiers set to the front die in 2 or 3 days. Political report, Kiev had committed 150,000 troops to fight on 3 different fronts, but they failed to make any significant gains. Washington claims it's providing Kiev with everything Ukraine needs to wage a successful counteroffensive. However, Western officials have also conceded Ukrainian forces lack critical equipment. When Ukraine launched its big counteroffensive, Western military knew they didn't have all the terrain or weapons from shells to warplanes it needed to dislodge Russian forces. They hoped Ukrainian courage and resourcefulness would carry the day. They haven't. And obviously, they're becoming in shorter supply. One Ukrainian soldier told the Post she hoped the loss would be worth the price. We got all these guys coming back from the front without limbs. I want the price they paid to be reasonable. Otherwise, it's useless what they went through. Her husband, a Ukrainian soldier who lost a leg, said he would not enlist if he had to make the choice again. They're taking everyone, sending them to the front without proper preparation. I don't want to be in the company of unmotivated people who are about to die. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, the whole thing's being a giant fiasco, and they're not only trying to find out how to get an off-ramp for the Zelensky disaster, but now they're trying to actively undermine FJB because nobody likes that guy. And everything he touched turns to shit. And so now they're actively undercutting him. And news media that for 2.5 years has not said one bad thing about the Biden gang are all of a sudden turned loose. And looks like, and this was on the Buck and Clay show this morning, looks like they're fixing to drop him, and they're going to probably put in Newsom as a VP and then bump Harris and then put Newsom and Michelle Michael in for the 2024 because they know they don't have anybody else on the bench and the ticket sucks.
Yeah, that's what I've been predicting right along. Chris, your thoughts? Chris, are you there? We may be temporarily out of touch. We'll get Chris back at earliest opportunity. Meanwhile, how stupid is the Georgia anti-Trump case? They indicted Trump for tweeting at people to watch TV. A local prosecutor has become the Democrats' latest instrument of election interference, unveiling a fourth round of indictments against Trump that cites activities like encouraging voters to tune into televised broadcasts as criminal offenses. Hours after the Atlanta prosecutor prematurely uploaded the tribe indictments, the Fulton County District Attorney's Office secured the long-sought charges against the Republican frontrunner 15 months before the next election. Fannie Willis successfully indicted 19 total defendants she plans to bring to trial together, with 13 additional counts from Georgia's prosecutors over objections to the 2020 presidential election. Trump now faces 91 charges as he leads the race for next year's Republican nomination. But let me add, not a single one of all those 91 has any merit either in law or in fact. Those now facing charges include his White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and attorney Rudy Giuliani. Here's a rundown of the conspiratorial acts signed by the Fulton County District Attorney's Office. They indicted Meadows for soliciting phone numbers from a pair of Pennsylvania lawmakers. Listen to this. Meadows sent a text message to U.S. Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania State. Can you send me the number for the speaker and the leader of the Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with them, claiming this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Encouraging voters to watch television. Act 22 charged Trump with conspiracy for encouraging supporters to watch hearings broadcast on One America News. Georgia hearings now on One America News. Amazing, the president tweeted. Again, this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Act 100 faulted the president for encouraging supporters to tune into Newsmax. My God. Act 101 listed another tweet encouraging supporters to tune into the Right Side Broadcasting Network as an act of conspiracy. Act 38 of the criminal indictment charged Giuliani for retweeting a Patriot call to action that encouraged voters to call their members of Congress to advocate for their cause. The tweet stated, Georgia Patriot call to action. Today is the day we need you to call your state Senate and House Rep and ask them to sign a petition for a special session. We must have free and fair election in Georgia. And this is our only path to ensuring every legal vote is counted. Again, this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Defendant David Schaefer was indicted for reserving a room at the Georgia Capitol in December 2020. Reserving the room used for a meeting of alternate presidential electors was declared by the prosecutors an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Act 32. Charged Trump for calling on Georgia state leaders to ensure signature verification and call a special session. According to Willis, the December 6, 2020 tweet was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Act 45, false defendant Michael Roman for requesting an unidentified, unindicted co-conspirator to encourage co-defendant Misty Hampton to attend a House committee hearing in Georgia on election fraud. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy, the indictment reads. Act 28, charged Trump for meeting with a Pennsylvania House Speaker to encourage a special session of the Assembly. I mean, this is ridiculous beyond belief. Jonathan Turley, whom I regard as perhaps our leading constitutional expert, says this is basically criminalizing protesting election in any form. It appears to be over the top, he suggests. I say it's a colossal act of stupidity. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes, show me the man and I will show you the crime. This is Liberté Fera, who was the head of the NKVD since from 1941 until 1953, when he was executed for crimes against humanity. But this man individually killed over 20,000 people by his own hand at the Katyn Forest prison in Poland. He personally executed 300 Polish officers every day for a whole entire month. Yeah, and he was a nice Jewish boy. So yeah, that tell me again how wonderful the tribe is and how we need to be worshiping these same people that had no problem killing 30 million people. They're the Holodomor, But then there was not 6 million dead until the 60s when they decided they could use that as another means of grafting. Absolutely disgusting. These people are Bolsheviks. That woman is an affirmative action, illiterate, and everything in that document is absolute 100% crap. I haven't read all 100 pages of it, but every analysis, every point, bullet point that I've seen written about it is absolute garbage. Villa Free has a great article on it, like you said, Jonathan Turley, the conservative treehouse. Yeah, every bit of evidence, they ought to be able to dismiss every one of these things, count by count, all the way through the trial. And the other thing that's absurd is here she is doing conspiracy for acts that happened outside of the state of Georgia. So she's trying to criminalize everything. But not only that, kids, now the Hobbs goblin out in Arizona, the one who stole the election from Carrie Lake, is saying that they're going to prosecute Trump in Arizona for trying to challenge the election out there. So, you know, this is the way Bolsheviks roll. And if you don't understand it, you're going to be one of those officers marched through the death halls of another prison camp, just like the 20,000 Polish officers that were massacred at the start of the World War II.
Great points, Joe. Chris. You're muted. You're still muted. There we go. Start. Mute. Still can't hear you, Chris. Still can't hear you. Chris, yeah, we still cannot hear you. Chris, you're muted. We can't hear you. Nope. I mean, we were in contact before, but right now I cannot hear you. Okay. Let's move forward and we'll pick up with Chris when we get a connection. Were the Maui fires caused by directed energy weapons? Well, we can get Chris back. We'll take it. Chris, speak. Nope. I don't know what to say. Were the Maui fires caused by directed energy weapons? I think the answer to that is emphatically yes. The official Mockingbird narrative blames strong Hurricane Dora winds for the unprecedented wildfires. The mainstream claiming at least 100 died, 1,700 buildings destroyed. Democrat Governor Josh Green, who I believe was a New World Order leader, say this is the largest natural disaster in the state's history. Concluding, it doesn't feel like a bomb and fire went off and all those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. Here's a video about it. Check it out.
Survivors of the Maui fire say that they received no warning and that the flames appeared so quickly that escape was difficult. Everything was suddenly in flames and many found refuge in the ocean for hours, while their homes burned to the ground and into the same powdery ash footprint we've seen in recent years. So far, it is estimated that nearly 1,000 people have died. Locals are worried this includes hundreds of children who were home due to school being canceled that day. Several people are reporting that the government is not only doing little to help, but they are blocking local efforts to do so and are not allowing local donations through, and that they are blocking life-saving medicine because it isn't federally approved.
Denying people access to bring in supplies, just supplies for people to live.
The government withholding every single one of our donations because we are not a part of FEMA and Red Cross. So none of this is eligible for giving out. Tell me why. I have no freaking clue.
The people of Maui are on their own for now, And aside from the federal government's bureaucratic failure, they have good reason to be suspicious. Just like what we saw 5 years ago in Paradise, California, there was nothing normal about these fires. Within a day of burning, it was like a bomb went off.
When you see the full extent of the destruction of Lahaina, it will shock you. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off, if I may. And all of those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. It will be a new Lahaina.
Local residents have been reporting bright flashes of light. One was captured by a home security camera that appears to have been the start of the Olinda fire. Many people are saying that it was directed energy weapons. We know that most major governments already have them. And during the California fires, online weather maps recorded what looks like a laser from above, striking an area just before it bursts into flames. In his research, Dennis Mills discovered that the incendiary aluminum and barium nanodust from chemtrails is most likely fueling the ferocity of today's so-called super wildfires. And on the day before the Maui fires broke out, locals were reporting a heavy overcast from chemtrailing that they'd never seen before. It's also interesting to note that the Maui police chief was the incident commander for the Las Vegas mass shooting in 2017. Lahaina is considered to be a historic and sacred land. It was the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii before it was taken by the United States. It's been occupied by Native Hawaiians ever since, who are defiantly opposed to the mainland outsiders who have been buying up land with no respect for local culture. Not just BlackRock and Vanguard, but billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg, who owns more land on Kauai than what the government of Kauai owns, and Oprah Winfrey, who has bought over 1,000 acres of land in Hawaii, including a new 870 acres in Maui she just bought this spring. In 2018, the Paradise wildfires broke out exactly where the United Nations have plans to somehow make off-limits to humans. And that same year, a report on wildfire prevention was published that was focused on the exact same areas in Maui where the fires just broke out.
All the historic downtown, all of it is demolished and all the houses gone. But those commercial big box stores are still there.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green has been putting the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda ahead of Hawaiian interests. Just weeks before the fire, he unveiled an emergency proclamation on housing that eliminates the traditional land use commission, allowing the government more leeway to build as they see fit, such as building 15-minute smart cities run by artificial intelligence, just like they've been planning to do in Hawaii for years.
At some point, I will make a major donation after all of the smoke and ashes have settled here and we figure out what the rebuilding is going to look like. This is going to be a long and difficult process. You're going to see.
And guess what? None of Oprah's property was damaged. What if it wasn't a bomb that went off, but rather a directed energy weapon? The resort town was the most devastated, but offers the most important clues. Here are the before and after images. Before, after. According to eyewitness accounts, the weather came from the east, which never occurs. She said the damage was caused by dew. Many had been burned alive in the street and in the water, many more than being reported. What is being reported by the news is not true, and I lived it firsthand. Hawaiian survivor and witness offered testimony this was not a natural disaster. When reviewing footage of the damage, it does not resemble a natural disaster whatsoever, more akin to 9/11, and the way in which vehicles were scorched. Paper and tree remain relatively undamaged. Who could forget when one of the hijacker passport was miraculously discovered among the incinerated and dust-covered rubble in perfectly pristine condition? Here you can see charred vehicles, yet nearby trees were relatively unsafe. Concerned citizen tweets, please can someone explain to me how fire can burn down bricks and mortar to the ground while trees remain fully intact? Here's what we had in Paradise, California. aside from strangely arranged and bracketed blackened cars, boats far away from shore, somehow incurred identical damage. Highly improbable, to say the least. Yes, the boats themselves at sea were in cars incinerated. Blaming Russia and China for America's crimes is nothing new. One only has to look back at last year's Nord Stream pipeline footage sabotage, which was absurdly blamed on Putin. Are more videos showing the wildfires were clearly directed by Putin. Anything but natural events. And here you have a ring of fire that is rather telling of the use of directed energy weaponry. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes, well, I went to the Dr. Josh Green website when he was running for governor, and he's a trusted, caring leadership. He's been caring for Hawaiian families for a generation. He's running for governor because he believes in Hawaii. Yeah, he's appears to be a WEF, but I can't verify that. But he was at the UN saying that they are the leader in 100% sustainable energy. So he bought into that. And Hawaii had the worst lockdown and COVID restrictions of any state in the union. So, you know, he's a real leader for medical health freedom. So you can add that to his little resume. A lady named Peg Hall has a great little video on, I think it's on, yeah, it's on BitChute. And she calls them WEFers, which is a pretty good way of describing them. I'll put that link, and then I'll also put the link to the LAVRETIYBERRIA, the NKVD guy who massacred 20,000 people just with his own hand, just pulling the trigger on a 32 caliber pistol. Yeah, he had it down to a science, wore a leather butcher apron and walked the prisoners with a guard on each side down a hall with red walls. And he'd shoot just like 300 people a day, executing them 300 people a day, a shot in the back of the head. Yeah, that video will really open your eyes. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with 100% Bolsheviks that have captured our entire government, and they have control of every branch, and every branch has been weaponized against the Constitution and against the American people.
Joe, I wish I could argue with you, but I think you got it right. Chris, hopefully we can hear you. Your thoughts? God damn. Nope. Damn. See if there's anything you can do, my friend, because I really like your comments. Meanwhile, get this out. Engineers have discovered a cellular network allowing the government to control the vote down to the precinct level, introduced by Barack Obama, surprise, surprise, to protect the integrity of our electoral system as part of the nation's infrastructure. The article is republished at jameshfetzer.org. Check it out. Joe, can you comment on this? It was called FirstNet, to protect the infrastructure, allows them to control, to manage and alter the votes down to the precinct level.
Yes, and considering there's 3,300 counties in the United States, and each one of them has dozens of voting precincts, you're talking a massive number of cell towers with the ability to hack into those machines. And when I was heavily involved in the voter fraud here in Texas, I met a lady named Laura Presley, has a PhD in chemistry, ran for a city council seat in Austin to give back something to her community. She had her seat stolen by Hart InterCivic and ES&S machines that are used by Texas that were 100% voter fraud. And we even testified to that at the Secretary of State's office in August of 2015. And by 2016, the Texas Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the voting machines approved in Texas did not meet the state constitution on three different levels. There was no printed receipts. There was no verifiable ballots. There was no. So bottom line is, our legislatures have known since 2016 that all this stuff was corrupt, and they make a big deal about Texas not being connected with Dominion, but we use Dominion-owned Optech software to do our tabulation, and both of the companies, Hart InterCivic and Electronic System and Software, ES&S, are subsidiaries of Dominion. So tell me again how wonderful Texas is. We have a rotten government. I saw a video the other day that was talking about the comparisons between Texas and Florida, and they said they are the both most crookedly managed voting states in the nation. So forget about moving to Texas. The only reason that they have a rhino majority in the state of Texas is because they rig it that way. They rig it so that only rhinos can win in the primary, and then they rig it so that it's a 49% purple state, just so that they can say, well, we couldn't get anything done because of those other parties. Yeah, Texas is majority conservative, and given the choice between this rotten garbage that's being pushed wall to wall by the demon rats, everything is objectionable to the vast majority of the people of Texas, and we deserve better.
It's striking me that a few years back, when we had this vast proliferation of cell phone towers, maybe that was designed to steal the election in 2020 using this FirstNet. That would not surprise me. Chris, if we've got audio, talk about any of the stories before.
Can you hear me now? Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Wow. I had to literally restart my phone, take the battery out, and put it back in. Wow. Joe had some great points about Stalin and the way he controlled his quote-unquote democracy in the 30s and 40s. I'll also add, in addition to Levent and Beria, who was his second in command, basically the guy that ran the NKVD, was another guy that was in charge of his resources, his natural resources, and that was a guy named Kaganovich. His name has been shortened, and his grandchild is actually married to Victoria Nuland. Kagan is actually the man, is a part of the National Security Council, and he's a national security advisor. And then, of course, Nuland is notorious for her coups in Ukraine. So these guys are Ukrainian Jews, dual citizens, probably double agents, and certainly running our foreign and domestic policies in many instances. His grandfather actually probably was not as if it's a scoreboard, but wiped out 10 to 20 million people quite easily in the early 30s in the Holodomor. He was the one that was really seeing a lot of that through as well. So yeah, these are notorious mastermind serial killers, and they are certainly doing this type of dirty work for the aristocracy, as they always have been. And I think that they are certainly bringing this Judeo-Masonic power into fruition and keeping it in place by any means necessary, including rigging these votes and voting machines and all this other stuff too. So yeah, this is a 50-state solution. It's going on around the world in 194 countries. So this is not just a one-off state thing. This is everywhere that they have this thing locked in. And until we get rid of it and find some more reasonable means of doing this, voting or whatever, I don't think there's going to be any way to vote our way out of this type of tyranny. I think we have to take the power back that has been taken from us. And I think given the nature of the way it's been taken, that I think that we have to realize that this is all hands on deck, and really the gloves are off, because these guys have certainly crossed more than a line or two in terms of the social contract and the ethics and the oaths that they're supposed to uphold. So truly amazing stuff that's going on now. And it's like history repeats itself, or at least rhymes. And it seems to use these same families and bloodlines as their henchmen in this. So, good points there, Joe, and talking about the Holodomor. And it seems like a 100-year cycle that they do this in terms of depopulating that particular region as well. So, those are some of my thoughts there. And the Hawaii thing, I'd like to say that I think they put something on the people in Hawaii so that they couldn't build or fix their properties. They had to go through like a zoning thing. They couldn't do any new construction. The only way that they'd be allowed to build on that would be a case of the instance of a natural disaster like we're seeing here. And of course, these fires are very, very mischievous in the nature of which they are presenting themselves. Remind me a lot of the California wildfires and the stuff that's going on with that. These people are being run off their land. They did the same thing with Ian in Fort Myers Beach with the hurricane. These people are literally declined by their insurance companies. They're too broke to rebuild the properties. And some of them are too old or decrepit. Some of them have been killed. And their land is just basically being forced to be sold for like a song, basically. And BlackRock's going to snatch it up, just like they're doing with the land in Ukraine, just like they're going to do with the land in Hawaii, just like they did with the Great Lakes in Detroit and Michigan. And they're doing it here in Florida and Fort Myers Beach, too. So this is around the world. Anywhere nice, these guys are going to make sure that the middle class and the poor are not going to live there. And if they do, they're going to be subjected and put into a servant class.
I think you're 100% correct. What about the Georgia indictment, Chris?
The jurisdictional breaches here seem to be amazing, too, how these people, they really can't clean up the business in their own backyard. So they go knocking, several states away and stuff that is not even their jurisdictional responsibility and are trying to persecute, obviously, Donald Trump for lawfare and going after the election. So it'll show you that this fighting on this hill is important to them because the second that it gets proven to be what we've been saying all along, these guys are done.
No.
Yes, and a report that I saw this morning was that insurance companies in Maui are denying insurance because the houses were 100 years old and they didn't have city building permits because who keeps track of a 100-year-old building permit for your house? You know, absolutely insane. But they're saying, well, you can't rebuild your house with using insurance money because your house was never permitted by the city to begin with. And that's part of our insurance policy. So they're just finding every way possible to screw over these people.
They struck down a lot of their construction codes. They've been written up for code violations before the fires broke out. So that basically they're in breach of their contract or they can't rebuild because they were in breach of the code. Of the city codes and ordinances. So these people, not only are they not able to rebuild the property that has been destroyed, but then their insurance claim is completely null and voided by that same process too. So yeah, there's some real slippery stuff going on here.
Wow, unbelievable. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, Psi-19 blowback. U.S. suicides hit an all-time high last year. In Pfizer data, one of the listed death effects, side effects was suicide. During the first year of the pandemic, the CDC claimed suicides decreased. According to an article by AP, around 49,500 committed suicide last year in the U.S., the highest number ever, according to government data. The theory as to why there was a drop in suicides in 2020 was presented by the AP in a 2021 article, U.S. Suicide Drop Last Year Defined Pandemic Expectations. It's hard to say exactly why suicide death dropped so much, but one factor may be a phenomenon seen in early stages of wars and national disasters, some experts suggest. There's a heroism phase in every disaster period where we're banding together, expressing lots of messages support that we're in this together, said Dr. Christian Moutier, Chief Medical Officer of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. You saw that at least in the early months of the pandemic. The other component is said heroism was it was far easier to generate fraudulent data set by officials who are classifying all mortalities, not limited to suicide, as COVID deaths, so long as their fraudulent PCR tests at greater than 35 cycles were detecting viral presence. And now, just like all-cause mortality posts, the slow-kill bioweapon rollout has exploded, have suicides. The CDC, which boasted the numbers, has not yet calculated a suicide rate for the year, but available data suggests suicides are more common in the U.S. now than at any time since the dawn of World War II. As per life insurance actuaries, all-cause mortality has eclipsed death rates of World War II and Vietnam combined. Game over. Here's a massive explanation. The charts provided by actuaries offer incontrovertible proof that all of the inexplicable coincidence deaths and soaring all-cause mortality have been caused by the global death rate for a year of the pandemic 2020 was 0.76. The global death rate for non-pandemic of 2018 were 0.76. In other words, the pandemic wasn't killing people, with suicide now trending similarly. Instead of blaming mandates and vaccines, the Mockingbird AP further politicizes, that is to say, lies about the tragic trend by going full anti-Second Amendment. The main driver is a growing availability of guns, said Jill Arcavi Friedman, senior VP of research at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Suicide attempts involving guns end in death far more often than those using other means, and gun sales have boomed, placing firearms in more and more homes, which, of course, is a good thing. Gun sales boomed precisely because of illegal mandates, as well as the installation of an anti-gun, senile, diaper-soiling, ice-cream-licking, pedo-puppet criminal in the guy called Biden. The article goes on with a curious racial factoid. A recent Johns Hopkins analysis used preliminary 2022 data to calculate the nation's overall suicide rate rose last year to an all-time high for the first time. The gun suicide rate among Black teens surpassed the rate among white teens. The AP does not appreciate many of those Black teens did not legally acquire their guns, which were were residing in Marxist-run cities with the most draconian anti-Second Amendment gun laws in the nation. The largest increases were seen in older adults. That rose nearly 7% in people aged 45 to 64, more than 8% 65 and older. White men in particular have very high rates. Many middle-aged and elderly experience problems like losing a job or losing a spouse. It's important to reduce stigma and other obstacles to them getting assistance, said Dr. Deborah Ourry, the CDC's chief medical officer. When the illegitimate federal government wages a full-spectrum soft war on we the people on behalf of one-world government handlers, one of the main shadow policies is democide or increased mortality. These are all deliberate after-effects of lockdowns, that is, a genetically modified population afflicted with VLADS that is struggling with deliberately engineered inflation and a rapidly imploding economy. Of course, more theft via taxation to be funneled into ever more unconstitutional government programs, the very same theft via taxation that funded the free death tax will naturally solve the suicide epidemic. The CDC is expanding a suicide program to fund more prevention work in different communities. There's growing awareness of the issue and that it's okay to ask for help. One of the primary drivers is due to financial insecurity. Taxation is no more than social engineering designed to reduce the wealth of a nation. The less disposable income via tax theft, the greater the propensity for debt, the greater the stress, the greater the chances for disease, death, and suicide. And the greater the death, the faster unfunded liabilities in the untenable debt supercycle are discharged. The reason this article is difficult to write is because my dear friend committed suicide this past Saturday. I saw him that day. We're going to meet Sunday morning to work out together. He was flashing his great big smile, yelling out the time we were going to meet, making sure he knew he would be there for me. On Sunday, I arrived at the gym a few minutes early. I texted him, but he never showed up or replied. During the pandemic, my friend never closed his business, refused to enforce mask policies. He saw through the whole vaccine scam and was convinced we were up against an evil eugenic program. At that time, the city was attempting to intimidate him. Busybody resident were recording his facility in the hope of shutting him down. He lost a lot of business, but never once considered backing down. He was a fighter and an elite athlete. Ultimately, the community rallied behind him. He was evicted from his place of business, but moved into a much better facility. I was helping him restructure his business. His prospects were looking excellent. and he was full of hope. He was a lovable man. He had a great worth. He exuded positivity. He gave his all to his friends and clients. He was constantly working on himself so he could give back that much more to the community. He helped at-risk kids, hosted a weekly meeting of 40 people at the same place to discuss personal issues and help one another. Despite struggling financially, he would give his last cent to help someone else. My shock and anger has turned to profound sadness. The system is designed to kill you if you let it. Stay strong. Good always defeats evil. I miss my friend very much. Do not comply. Joe.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd metric to say that the more guns you have and the more suicide you have, no matter how many guns you have, you can only commit suicide once. So how many guns does it take? Figure, do the math. Over the weekend, I went to the American Liberty Awards in Austin, sponsored by InfoWars. There's probably, I'd say, over 100 people there. Guests and award winners included Dr. Peter McCullough. And also, Stu Peters was there, and he won an award for his movie, Died Suddenly, which he said that he gave it to the world for free, and had he charged a dollar a piece to view it, he could have made $100 million. But that's the kind of person that he is. And so he was giving back. But there you have millions of people who have died suddenly from the jabs, and now they're trying to tell you that guns are a problem? Why don't they tell you that the FDA and the CDC and the AMA are a huge risk to life on this planet? Because they are. The physicians are a leading cause, and I think they are the leading cause of premature death in the United States, along with the pharmaceutical companies. So why don't we go after them?
Very good. Chris.
I was muted. Yep, I got you. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that. There's a lot of people that are, struggling to get by and make ends meet in this day and age, and it's not an accident. I think that there's a group of people that have tried to clandestinely take over the world's resources to outsource the labor and to reduce the labor market into beggars. And this is a push for UBI and socialism and the whole thing that they've always had in mind for us. They've destroyed the means of production. They have certainly toyed and manipulated with currencies and debased currencies, and manipulate commodities, things like that, make it possible for people to save. They've priced out entire generations out of property ownership and are continuing to do so. And people are running around talking about LGBTQ and trans and, you know, Ukraine and all this bullshit while this is happening everywhere. And I'll tell you, it's not an accident that this is going on. And it's hard for people, myself included, you know. I mean, I guess, you know, I'm a few incidents away from being homeless myself, and many others are around here in the American middle class and completely decimated. So the whole point of this system and the rigged system that it is, the fractional reserve banking system, is death slaves. And more importantly, to use media and the other things to gaslight the people that are being.
Chris, you got into an area where we lost contact. Listen, far be it to me to second guess the second most smartest guy in the world, but his friend did not sound like a candidate for suicide to me. If anything, precisely the opposite. Chris, continue.
Yeah, no, I don't know where I got cut off at. This is getting pretty annoying with that whole connection and hyper-connectability. I think I had better phone reception in 1991 than I do now. It's not even funny, but... back to the point, though, the whole point of the misery index being imposed on us worldwide in such a manner is, in fact, to crush us, to break our spirits so that we will, you know, basically doom our own souls. And I'm just saying, anybody that's having trouble out there and thinking about it or having moments of weakness, find your strength and think about life. It's worth fighting for. It's worth living for. And, you know, freedom is worth dying for. And I think there's good people out there that are doing the good thing and fighting the good fight. And Stu Peters, in my opinion, is one of those. So I'm really thankful for him, what he's done with his movie and awakening people the way that he has. There's a lot of people out there that we got to thank, yourself included, Fats. You got to mention on Powers and Principalities by Tim Kelly and Joe Atwell. They were talking about your video about Jack Ruby getting blackbagged after he shot Oswald.
Well, that was the work of Ralphson K rather than my own. So I don't want to take credit for someone else's work. I appreciate all of the above. Here we go. Weaponizing government to prosecute the American First Movement and protecting corrupt elites. This is very serious. It's now been shown that federal government has been weaponized against the America First Movement. Massive three-letter agencies attack anyone who disagrees with the radical leftist worldview and will censor, silence, or suppress those who support America First policy, but it doesn't stop there. In a calculated 1-2 punch, the federal government has been exposed covering up or hiding crimes committed by those they agree with politically. Government insiders have been shown often to violate internal agency protocols, ignore dissent from within, and break the law to prevent simple questions from being asked or important information from coming to light. Government should protect the rights granted by the Constitution to all Americans and not target dissenters for political, financial, or social destruction, nor should it choose to shield a select few from consequences because of a shared leftist worldview. This is dangerous and un-American. It must stop now. Top lines. Federal government insiders have been caught using their powerful means, methods, and tools to attack average Americans who hold an opinion that differs from theirs. Average Americans are being targeted by a weaponized federal government. Three-letter agencies go after groups and individuals based on their political or ideological views. Individuals with the FBI, the DOJ, and other agencies have been exposed for targeting people with whom they disagree. Pro-life supporters, conservative charities, anyone with deeply held religious beliefs, parents who question what's being taught their children in school, those who question government vaccine mandates, those concerned about child sex trafficking. This poses a dangerous direct threat to our Constitution and American democracy. Radical leftists weaponize the government against their political opponents. A man in Chicago is arrested for praying outside an abortion clinic. A man in Virginia arrested during a school board meeting for protesting the radical transgender policies that led to the rape of his daughter. DOG labeled parents domestic terrorists because parents didn't want their children exposed to sexually explicit material in school. The FBI tried to label traditional Christians and Catholics as potential terrorists and dangers to the country. A federal judge ordered the federal judgment to stop colluding with big tech to violate Americans' First Amendment right to free speech. You are censored, shadow banned, or canceled if you push actual scientific data to counter junk science on transgender issues, dare to ask questions about the efficacy of the vaccine, or believe information on the Hunter laptop was real. Bad actors within the federal government are still targeting a former president who just so happens to be the chief political rival of the president in place. Well, radical leftists attack so many with whom they disagree, they also protect the elites who have the same political views. Hillary Clinton stored classified information on her home server, deleted 33,000 emails, and destroyed evidence. She was not charged. Joe Biden, as senator and vice president, stored classified information at multiple locations for many years. He has not been charged. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and George Bush left the White House with classified documents. They were not charged. But Donald Trump, who had classified docs at a secure private location with Secret Service protection, he was charged. Federal prosecutors indicted the former president in a matter of months. but three-letter agencies have known about serious, credible criminal allegations involving the sitting president for years and have done nothing. Trump was impeached for a call to Ukrainian officials about possible corruption involving then Vice President Joe Biden at the exact same time the FBI had whistleblower accounts of a possible bribery scheme involving a uranium energy company and Joe Biden, but nothing happened. Federal investigators have known about the Biden family foreign business dealing for more than 7 years. Almost a decade ago, the Obama admin received warnings about Hunter's business dealing while Joe was vice president. FBI show a $5 million payment spread among multiple LLCs in the Biden family. The Congressional House Oversight Committee has uncovered millions in wire transfers between multiple LLCs, up to 9 different Biden family members. Selective prosecution versus selective protection locally. Our left district attorneys have a warped radical agenda designed to protect criminals instead of victims. A New York district attorney downgraded 52% of felony cases to misdemeanors. A registered nurse was violently hit by a deranged patient, but the New York DA gave the attacker a slap on the wrist misdemeanor, even though state law says attacks on healthcare workers are felonies. A man accused of raping a teenage relative secured a sweetheart deal from the Manhattan DA and then went on to allegedly sexually terrorize 5 people in the Bronx only a month later. A New York DA cut a break for 2 women caught on video attacking New York cops when he let one of them go and downgraded the charges to the other. A store owner in New York was being robbed and physically attacked. He took out a knife to protect himself and stabbed the robber, but the leftist DA charged a store owner with a crime. These criminals are often repeat offenders, but they're protected by radical leftist district attorneys and rarely punished. Too often crimes, victims of crimes, are becoming victims of the law. Nationally, the New York Post reported FBI knew Hunter's laptop was real in 2019, but refused to acknowledge even in 2020. In fact, documents show the FBI colluded with the media to characterize the laptop as Russian disinformation. House Oversight Committee reports information from the Hunter laptop. Witnesses, bank records, other sources prove millions of dollars were transferred from businesses in China, Ukraine, Russia, and elsewhere to at least 15 shell companies and then to at least 9 Biden family members, including payments to one of his 7 grandchildren. The House Ways and Means Committee stated investigators tipped off Hunter prior to the execution of a search warrant. The House Oversight Committee reports multiple whistleblowers say prosecutors were denied the ability to charge Hunter with crimes in 2 locations. According to the New York Post, Hunter was not charged with crimes related to his unregistered foreign business dealings, but prosecutors did charge a whistleblower about the Bidens for his foreign business dealing just days after the whistleblower made claims public about the Biden family's alleged illegal activity. Newsweek reports, according to whistleblower accounts, there could be audio recordings involving then-VP Biden and his son Hunter talking directly to Ukrainian officials about payments. Real Clear Politics shows Hunter's attorneys said prosecutors never looked at the laptop during their investigation. This is more than just a protection of the chosen elite in the indictment of a person, people, or group. It's the latest move by the radical left against the America First movement. This is about more than a former president. It's about the American people. A Louisiana judge has ruled the federal government trampled the First Amendment when it colluded with big tech to censor, silence, and shadow ban anyone who dared think for themselves. If you post something on social media the government doesn't like, they told big tech to take it down. That's a clear violation of the First Amendment. People are being put in jail simply for peacefully protesting abortion clinics or standing up for their kids at school board meetings. It's not about obstructing justice. is about equal justice. Hillary deleted 33,000 emails, which were official government records. She said she had no mobile devices, but she did. She used software and hammers to destroy mobile devices and other electronics. Biden repeatedly said his mishandled classified docs were turned over, yet more docs were found at different locations. No one is above the law, but no one is below it either. The left is quick to go after those who support the America First policies. It's taken more than 5 years to investigate the Biden family, but it still resulted in no charges, no indictments. If it weren't for the real investigation by the House Oversight Committee, the story would remain buried. To combat the increased weaponization of the government, the America First Policy Institute is pursuing a comprehensive strategy seeking to hold those in power accountable, outlining key justice and national security reforms, and preparing for an America First administration to rectify the two-tiered system of justice that plagues our nation. This approach will provide solutions needed to restore justice and the rule of law in America. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes, we not only have selective prosecution, we also have selective execution. Last week, Craig Robertson, a 75-year-old U.S. Air Force veteran who had made some statements online that were threatening to FJB, was attacked by 30 SWAT officers at 6 o'clock in the morning and assassinated. And they knew he was in a wheelchair, that they could have caught him anytime leaving his home to go get groceries to take care of his disabled son. But they decided instead that they would serve a warrant and just shoot the guy and get it over with. Now they're scurrying around trying to find some way to cover it up. What they do in these cases is just like they did with the Russiagate thing. They had evidence of corruption by the FBI, by IG Horowitz. They did not act on any of that until the statute of limitations expired. Then they protected all of the Russiagate stuff with the Mueller investigation, not allowing Congress to be able to question any of the witnesses because it was an ongoing investigation. The same trick they played with Hoover, who was a AG out of Utah that was appointed to be a special, and the same thing they did with Durham. When he finally got around 3 years later to publishing his report of all the corruption of the FBI, the statute of limitations had run on it. And that's the same thing they've done with a lot of the charges on Hunter. You can only go back 6 years on IRS records. So that means all of the stuff that he's been doing for all of his adult life has been covered up. And now they got to do is try to get him misdemeanor on two of those charges. And that's what they're trying to do. The whole thing is rotten as it could possibly be. And they want to jail Trump because they call him a flight risk. Well, they'll probably have to jail him before Monday, because Monday he's going to present hours of irrefutable evidence about the corruption in the voting systems nationwide, and in particular, the voting systems in Georgia. And trust me, he's got the best experts with Lindell and Kathleen Engelbreit with True the Vote, and they've got the 2,000 mules, and they know where the 10,000 mules were that were in Georgia that they didn't bother to put into the movie because they had 50,000 mules nationwide.
Yeah, Joe, you're spot on. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Trump has something, and I don't know what it is, but apparently these guys really want it, or want him to not have it, or something like that. I think that it could be maybe the Emergency Authorization Act. It could be something like that, or only he would have a copy of it. Maybe it's Space Force. Who knows? But something's going on with that we're not being told. But yeah, it's been a pretty crazy day. But I'm gonna just keep it short and sweet, and I'll just tell people that the best advice I'm gonna give you is put your phone down and play with your kids.
like that, Chris. Yes, indeed. Put your phone down and play with your kids. Meanwhile, special counsel appointed in the Hunter Biden investigation. But of course, it's the same guy who is offering the sweetheart deal. And it's really obvious this is a way of covering up. Bowing to pressure from conservatives and others interested in not appearing like a banana republic, Merrick Garland appointed U.S. Attorney David Weiss, special counsel in the ongoing probe of Hunter Biden. On Tuesday, Weiss advised me in his judgment, his investigation had reached a stage where he should continue to work as special counsel and asked to be so appointed. Upon considering his request, as well as the extraordinary circumstances related to the matter, I have concluded it is in the public interest to appoint him as special counsel. More via NBC. Weiss will be responsible for the ongoing investigation of Joe Biden's son, as well as any other matters that arose or may arise from that investigation. DOJ noted Weiss, who has already overseen the Hunter probe, was nominated by then-President Trump in 2017 and confirmed by the Republican-controlled Senate in 2018. Hunter agreed to plead guilty to misdemeanor charges related to his failure to pay income taxes earlier this year. But while standing in court, waiting to enter the plea, the agreement fell apart over confusion about a separate gun charge. No. It fell apart when the judge asked, did this mean he would not be indicted for any other crimes? And the prosecutor said yes, because it was too embarrassing to admit that was the whole point. Recall Weiss shocked IRS and FBI in October 22, 2022, where he said he had limited ability to investigate Biden, despite Garland's repeated assurance he had total authority. In May, an IRS whistleblower, Gary Shapley, told Congress he was so dismayed by Weiss' statement and other admissions, he memorialized him in a communication to other team members. Shapley and another whistleblower detailed what they described as a pattern of interference with their investigation of Hunter Biden, including denial of searches, lines of questioning, even attempted indictments. Many speculate the appointment of Weiss as special counsel also mean DOJ can block congressional oversight of Hunter's sweetheart deal until after the 2024 election. Cernovich tweets, this is fake. Cernovich refused to hand over documents to Congress because there's an ongoing investigation. According to Turley, a special counsel investigation will not prevent the House from pursuing an impeachment inquiry, especially if Garland is still refusing to expand the scope of the mandate to Weiss to include influence peddling allegations against Joe Biden. After his appointment as special counsel, Weiss has announced his deal with Hunter is dead as Dillinger. Defense counsel may now regret telling the prosecutors to just rip up the agreement. Fair anyone? The problem is the appointment of Weiss as special counsel, despite the testimony of the whistleblowers for those IRS agents. This seems a lot like sending Sheila's Joe Jackson back into the game after telling him, say it ain't so, Joe. The question is, if Weiss always had this power to ask for an appointment, why didn't he when he was reportedly prevented from pursuing charges in two other jurisdictions? And we know more. Matt Gaetz, the Biden DOJ wants you to believe the appointment of a special counsel from inside the Biden DOJ is a basis to continue their investigation of Hunter because they've changed their tactics. House Republicans have to change ours. Congress is organized under Article 1 of the Constitution, and we have an obligation to conduct oversight without subjugating to the Article 2 powers the DOJ is acting upon. Tom Fitton. Attorney General Garland folded today, stopped ignoring DOJ regulations, finally appointed a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden and indirectly President Joe Biden for their corrupt family business dealings. But appointing U.S. Attorney Weiss as special counsel, a man who tried to unethically slide Hunter's corrupt plea deal past a federal judge, is a sick joke. In fact, Mr. Weiss should be under investigation for his dishonest statements to Congress and his compromised sweetheart plea deal for Hunter. Given the powerful and unrefuted testimony before Congress by senior IRS investigators, that the criminal investigation of Hunter was obstructed by the DOJ when Weiss was nominally running the investigation in order to protect Joe. Weiss is the last person who should be special counsel. Congress should speed up and escalate its investigation of Biden corruption, as the Justice Department is ethically broken. Meanwhile, time for creepy Joe to hit the showers as Ashley Biden confirms a diary is hers. Before you watch the video, there's an elephant in the room. Project Veritas has released a video of Ashley confirming the infamous diary is hers. But it's Project Veritas without James O'Keefe releasing video evidence that was compiled by O'Keefe's team while he was still with the outlet. Project Veritas, in other words, hasn't actually been able to pull off any undercover journalism of its own since the board ousted O'Keefe from the same company it founded. All they can do is ride on O'Keefe's coattails. That's the elephant in the room. Other than that, this is an astonishing video. Ashley called Project Veritas to try to get her items back from the outlet. She left a bunch of personal items at a home where she'd been renting a room, including the infamous diary. Ashley confirms the diary is hers, which means that she confirms in her own words that creepy Joe is an alleged sex predator, pervert, pedophile, and all-around jerk who took showers with his young daughter. Actually, it's more serious than that. She confirms he sexually abused her repeatedly. He was raping his own daughter. It's time for Joe Biden to simply go away. That probably won't happen, unfortunately, since House Republicans are always waiting for just one more piece of evidence to impeach Creepy Joe any day now. Here's the video of Ashley confirming the diary is hers. Meanwhile, Joe, yours.
Yes. Well, it appears that one of the charges against Hunter is going to disappear because last week, the Fifth Circuit Court, a three-judge panel, ruled that it was unconstitutional to deny Second Amendment rights to drug users. They had some guy that was caught with a couple of roaches from his bunts in his car, along with two loaded weapons. And the Fifth Circuit Court said, no, you can't do that. So that means the charge against him for the weapons charge, which was a serious felony thing, because he's not a convicted felon. He is just a lifelong drug user. But maybe there's a difference, a distinction between use of marijuana and the use of cocaine, which he was using. But I doubt it because they're both Schedule One. Bottom line is, looks like that charge could end up getting dropped. And O'Keefe came up with another great storyline last week, and I didn't write it down in my notes, but while we're doing the next segment, I'll look it up and bring that up.
Chris.
Yeah, you know, I looked into the Project Veritas, and is that the same Hinckley family from, like John Hinckley, like Bush family friend that runs the yacht company, and then that what becomes Project Veritas? The guy that fired O'Keefe?
I think I can't answer that, Chris, but nothing would surprise me.
I'm just like piecing all these together. I mean, there's really not too much in terms of coincidence theory. When you find these type of situations, there's probably more to it. Maybe there's not, though, but I don't know. I just looked into that and was kind of just wanted to put that out there and see maybe we get some people talking about things and discussing some topics, you know?
Joe, go ahead.
Kind of kicking the beehive, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Before I looked it up, I remembered what it was. He put out a call for people nationwide to turn in crooked lawyers and judges. And he had a response from a guy here in Texas that went to an event in Fort Worth where they were putting on, quote, a parody, where they were singing, wearing devil's horns, dressed up in red capes, and claiming that they lie, they cheat, they steal, they do everything wrong, and don't trust your shyster lawyers. It was a 5-minute long supposedly parody, and then O'Keefe called up two of the women that were part of the production. One of them just hung up on him. The other one was, what is it about satire that you don't get? Well, it'd be satire if it wasn't the truth. You know, the problem is 90% of the lawyers give the other 10% a really bad name.
Yes.
Speaking of lawyers, there's a movie called The Murder of Crows. I recommend that. That's a really good lawyer movie that people would really dig. A lot of Shakespearean.
The Murder of Crows.
Yeah, it's in the 90s it was made. Yeah, check it out if anybody wants.
Meanwhile, we want to hear from you. Send fan mail, pro or con, to live.needtoknow@gmail.com. Live.needtoknow@gmail.com. A damn good short article, Miranda Devine. It's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house to appoint David Weiss special counsel, the very U.S. attorney who approved Hunter Biden's sweetheart plea deal and oversaw an investigation that protected the president and allowed the statute of limitations on the most serious charges to expire. Garland is a treasonous. Meanwhile, final thoughts. Joe, yours.
Yes, another highlight of the American Liberty Awards in Austin. It happened to be another weekend of gay pride, and there were people prancing up, let's put it this way, there were guys prancing up and down the 6th Street in teabag thong bikinis and dog collars and platform heels, and it was just as disgusting an event as you could possibly want. A really bad location for an award ceremony like that, and it really a traffic jam and just a social nightmare. But I did get to meet in person three of the other co-hosts on TNT Radio. One of them was Jorge Morick, and he had done an interview with me last Monday on war propaganda, great two-hour documentary by John Pilger, P-I-L-G-E-R, highly recommended. And then he had actually scheduled me on the 7th, which was Monday. And then he said, well, you didn't go onto my calendar thing. He had sent me a link to it, but I didn't know how to work that. And I didn't sign up. So he said, well, you know, I'll schedule you for the 14th. And then he called me back about an hour later and said, well, guess what? My 8 o'clock guest has canceled because they had a power outage at her house. Can you go ahead and do the program this week and next? And I went, yeah. So Saturday, I got to hang out with him and another host, Byron McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N, and then Charlie Robinson. And Morick had flown in from Guadalajara. He's a great guy, lived several years in Mongolia. He's lived all over Europe. He's currently living in Guadalajara. Absolutely wonderful host and highly recommended. I'll put the link to the second episode that we did, which covers nukes. And in particular, he had interviewed Patrick McFarland, M-A-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-D. And he is taking apart the Oppenheimer psyops that's being posted about how what a wonderful person Oppenheimer was. And he's disclosing all of the radiological medical experiments that these people did for 10 years prior to nuke and Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And then all of the horrible things that they did in the 50s after that to nuclear victims nationwide. Absolutely disgusting whitewashing of this, what could only be described as a war criminal by any other standard. So I highly recommend it. And I don't have the link for his interview for that, but I will put the link down for the first 30-minute documentary. He said this is first of three on the Oppenheimer because it is stunning.
Chris, your final thoughts.
Oh, man, I think the weapon of mass destruction that often gets overlooked from World War II is the imposition of the Keynesian economic system and the fiat usury, the compound interest, the whole fractional reserve banking thing, and how it's been put on as the central banking system for every nation on Earth, more or less. And it's been enforced by UN, NATO, and U.S. military forces, and even clandestine, you know, private services, too. Mercenaries, more or less, that basically assure that their game is the only one in town. So I really think that people are going to have to start working on getting outside of that system. Stop giving these guys your data, which seems to be the new gold. Maybe start saving and trading in gold and silver. Maybe start growing your own food supplies, things like that. Really get away from the system of the Cisco logistics infrastructure and the system, as it were, because I think it's going to be obviously a carrots and sticks type of situation. And I don't think these quote unquote public servants are there to serve the public. And what they do serve us, I wouldn't really take. Like I say, it's like that vaccine shot, maybe even worse.
Well, Chris and Joe have done such a sensational job. I cannot thank them enough from the bottom of my heart. On Monday, I begin on RBN with a show of Authentic News in the same time slot formerly held by Michael Rivero. I'm very happy to be in that position. I was a big fan. I look forward to continuing the tradition here, and I'm glad to say Joe and Carl and Chris and others are going to continue, Brian and Owen included, with the Need to Know News. And we may have opportunities to mutually interact. I look forward to that. Let me simply add as an observation, the Democrats have run out of gas. The idea that they're going to criminalize protesting an election when it was clearly stolen represents scraping the bottom of the barrel. The DA in Georgia looks like a complete moron. She has no basis in law or in fact for these allegations. It's an embarrassment. It's a clown show. The Trump attorneys are going to have a field day. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with the family, the friends of people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Back tomorrow with more of the news you need to know.